Tune in to the hottest sports talk show.
I've never had it so good, sports radio.
Join us weekdays at 7 p.m. Stories about players and coaches of all levels. We make it easy to talk sports.
Welcome to Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. We are excited tonight. The experts will be on with us, and my co-host, David Riley. Tim Moore will be a little bit late, but he'll be here for sure. As I was saying off air, Duck, and some of the conversation I'll have to finish later, I'm going to try to be more professional tonight, okay?
I'm sure everybody's going to welcome that.
Yes. Yes, I think everybody would welcome a more professional spirit. Let's get everybody in here. 3434, give us your name.
Hey, Princess, this is Ricky Porter.
Oh, my.
And Princess, I think you're very professional.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't have to change anything, Princess. You are very professional.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I was getting flack from the Mountaineer, but now that I've heard from you, I know that I'm on the right track. Thank you, sir. I appreciate
definitely
that.
Definitely are. Yes.
Duck, any words? Anything?
I'm done, man.
Sounds like kids stop laughing. Okay, control 2762. Your mic is open. How are you?
Hi, Princess. How are you doing? This is Jay Hayes.
Hi, Mr. Hayes. I wanted you on last week to talk about Mel Tucker. Then you wait a week, and then he let Purdue take him.
And
yeah.
Then he lost.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. He let me down too.
Yeah, I just think, you know, it's hard to kick those young men up consistently, but you're sitting at 9-0 and a number three ranking. That's a tough one right now. That's a tough one for sure.
No question.
All right.
No question.
Yes, sir. Hold on. 1071. Give us your name.
Hello, Princess. This is Will Lewis. Hope you guys are all doing well.
Thank you. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well.
I think someone asked, no problem. Someone has their phone on speaker, but I can hear a feedback, a repeat of everything there. So Doug, go ahead and take over.
Okay. Dad, we want to start off, and I'm going to start off with Jay. Jay, let's talk about Purdue, Michigan State. Surprise.
Say again. I'm sorry.
Purdue, Michigan State. Were you literally surprised by the outcome?
You know, I not necessarily, because I just know how hard the Big Ten is, and Purdue went into Iowa and beat Iowa. You know, so they've kind of been up and down for the year. Michigan State has won all their close games. You know, I guess they got a call in the Michigan game that, you know, Harbaugh was crying about and still crying about 2 weeks later. But, you know, I've coached in the Big Ten, and, you know, the Big Ten's hard to win out. And, you know, it's just – it is what it is. I would have preferred that Michigan State could have been able to come through with a win, but I understand the difficulty of just playing a Big Ten schedule and getting through it. You know, back in when Tom Brady was a senior at Michigan and I was coaching in Wisconsin, we were undefeated in the Big Ten until we played Michigan. We end up losing to Michigan, but we, you know, won the Big Ten and went to the Rose Bowl that year and beat UCLA. But it's hard to get through the Big Ten schedule without a loss.
Okay. Ricky, Purdue, up and down, quarterback, has a great game against Iowa, great game against Michigan State, but so-so throughout the year. Your thoughts on the Michigan State-Purdue game?
Well, you know, I have to agree with Jay a little bit. My surprise wasn't that Purdue beat Michigan State. Now, honestly, I thought Michigan State would win. I thought they won a roll. Things were looking good, and I just said, you know, they're going to, you know, this is going to be a top four team. My surprise was the score. I didn't think they would beat them that convincingly. I mean, I think it was 29-40, something like that. That was the surprise to me because, like Jay said, the Big Ten is hard to run the table there. And when you sleep on a Purdue or Indiana, somebody like that, and you're thinking, okay, we can get by this, and I don't know if they went there not prepared fully or took them lightly. But Purdue played well and won the game. So my surprise was the score. Even though I thought Michigan would win, that wasn't the biggest surprise as the score was. So,
okay, Francis, Purdue, Michigan State.
Yeah, you know what, Doug, I was surprised, like Ricky, how Purdue easily just handled them in the beginning. You could tell it was going to be a game until the end. And I was hoping and kept hoping and praying that Michigan State would turn it around. But that wide receiver for Purdue, the whole team, they came to play.
Okay. And Princess, when you make reference, you could say Jay too, because he wasn't the only one out besides Ricky. But anyway, all right, moving on to Tim. Tim, you're telling.
I'm feeling some hate. Feeling some hate.
He's a hater.
That's all.
Yeah, I feel similar to everybody else.
Hey, Tim, we got the same issue. You probably need to move around because you're breaking up.
I'm still breaking up now. I'll try to call back in here.
That's better. You're right there.
Okay, yeah, I think I feel similar to what everyone else is feeling in that, you know, I was really surprised that Purdue handled them as easily as they did. However, you know, if you think about Purdue's season, they've played pretty well. They just haven't been consistent. But, like every other week, they've played some pretty good football this year.
Okay. Will, did it hit Ken Walker's chance for the Heisman because of the game against Purdue?
I think it's always easier to award the Heisman to a team that's elite. I mean, a team that's playing well, a team that's undefeated. And certainly Michigan State had gotten so far down the road, and he had performed well in each and every game. I think he's still going to be in the top two, so I don't think it really hurt him, but it'd be nice to see him finish well and kind of seal the deal.
Okay. I'm going to stay right with you, Will, because I want your thoughts on the Wake Forest UNC game.
You mean the game where nobody plays defense? That game? it was if you love offensive football, and I imagine every fan does, or most fans do. I think I appreciate defense a little bit more. But I think if you enjoyed explosiveness and seeing it in a variety of different ways, then I think that was a good game. It was probably, it was good to see Wake. I hadn't seen them a whole lot this year, and you kind of see why they were winning, why they were undefeated. I've seen North Carolina since week one, and you wanted to see how Sam Howell had improved. You know, after all, he was a Heisman candidate going into week one. But I think that fell apart pretty early. So you like to see where they were, and they both showed that they can engineer some offensive explosiveness. Unfortunately, neither team showed that they played defense. So I think that's probably what hurt both their chances, and certainly would hurt Wake down the road. So.
Okay, Jay, same question, Jay.
Yeah, you know, I just think it finally caught up with Wake, you know, that they lost a game. They're still having a great season. You can't take anything away from them on that. They did play well offensively in the game. Just didn't stop, you know, North Carolina from scoring points. And North Carolina has been up and down this year as well, you know. So it's just the nature of playing the games, and that's why you play them, that you have to go out and put four quarters together or go in overtime and win them, do whatever you have to do to win them to win a game. And Wake, you know, wasn't able to overcome North Carolina this past week. But they still have a great record, and hopefully they'll bounce back and continue down the road and have an opportunity to win their share of the ACC and maybe get to the championship game.
Okay. Tim, overrated?
Yeah. You mean Wake?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't overrate them. They're about what I thought they were. I think they're a prolific offense. And I think a couple of the guys have already mentioned, they didn't play much defense. But I think that offense is legit. They can score on just about anybody. They just ran out of time, you know. You know, if they're going to try to, you know, vie for a championship, they're going to have to fix that before the season's over. But I wouldn't call them overrated. I wasn't expecting them to be in the playoffs or necessarily to win the ACC, but they're a competitor. They're a contender.
Okay. Princess, is the quarterback a Heisman candidate?
I think he's a legit Heisman candidate, and I agree with Tim that their offense is prolific, and they came to play, but it was a surprise to see them in the top 10. They were 8-0. You know, the season caught up with them, and North Carolina seemed to be very offended that anyone called that an upset. They said, you know, they've always beat Wake Forest, but they're still 8-1, and it's an excellent season. For sure.
Okay. Ricky, ACC, will anybody finish in the top 10 and Wake in UNC?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I got a feeling Wake will. I believe that they will, like, well, after what Jay said, you know, it's tough, you know, to go undefeated. I mean, that's just a tough thing to go undefeated. And with the schedule they have remaining, it's a possibility that they can run the table. If they do, I think Wake could probably finish in the top 10.
Okay. Staying right with you, Ricky, we want to talk about Texas A&M and Auburn. What did you take from that game?
Well, it changed my thoughts a little bit. I wasn't big on Texas A&M. I just thought, to be honest with you, I thought it was a kind of a little – they just came out and just balled out against Alabama and beat them. And I kind of thought they would fizzle out at the end, but it looks like they're here to stay. I mean, they're playing much better ball, and there's a possibility that they could be in the mix of things. It's time. I mean, I think they have two losses now, so I don't know how much of it in the mix they'll be. But I think they're going to be a threat to anyone that they play now. So they've kind of won me over a little bit. The Alabama win didn't do it, but they're playing well in the SEC. And I just think, you know, they've kind of won me over a little bit that they're a pretty viable team.
Okay. Will. Bo Nix, inconsistent, show up for the big game, Texas A&M Auburn.
I think for me, Texas A&M plays, you know, in that division, they play good defense. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I think you always have a chance to win. Texas A&M has been slightly inconsistent, and I mean part of it had to do with the quarterback and bringing him along. So really their issue is more on the offensive side of the ball than it is on the defensive side of the ball. And Auburn, you know, has a veteran quarterback in Bo Nix, and sometimes they ask him to do a little bit too much, and I think that's hurt them for the most part. But for me, I picked Texas A&M because I thought that they were more rounded all the way around, offense, defense, and then I kind of had been a little bit unsettled on Auburn since they lost to Penn State earlier in the year.
Okay, Jay, what about you? Did you think Auburn would come in and, you know, go there and beat Texas A&M?
You know, I thought it was a toss-up, really, between those two teams. I think they're both playing solid football. You know, just who was going to make the most plays in the game, we're going to end up winning it, and that's what happened. You know, Bo Nix, I think the guy's a winner. You know, he makes plays, he stays alive, he can run the ball, he can throw it well enough to be dangerous. You know, he's a big, strong kid. You know, grew up in his dad's a football coach, so you know, I every time I watch him, he does something good, and they might not win, but he just always does, has a flash play, does something that makes you go, wow, man, that guy, you know, how'd he do that? But he always has done that in the last couple of years. I've seen him play. I'm impressed with him. I think he's a winner, you know, but it's just one of those things. When you get in, you know, this part of the year, you get to November, you know, you got to start winning the games, and that's what it's all about. So, if you want to go to a good bowl game, and you know, you gotta win in November and maybe December to go to a good bowl game. But like George Perlis used to say, they got bourbon and chicken wings at all those bowl games, but sometimes the bourbon is better and the chicken wings are bigger, you know, depending on what game you go to.
I will press your thoughts on Texas A&M and Auburn.
I can't follow up Jay Hayes. Sometimes the bourbon is better and the chicken's bigger. That's pretty
That's
good.
That's what happens, Princess, when you've been coaching for almost 30 years. Uh-huh. You know, well, for almost 40 years. So uh-huh. you get all those old sayings.
That's powerful. I like that. You know, I thought Auburn would win this game. Duck, I was hoping that they did. They didn't. You know, we are now hearing that Texas A&M thinks they're back in the mix. They should be, you know, but they beat Alabama, but they lost to Mississippi State, who has three or four losses at this point. So, and there's still teams out there with just one or no losses. But I thought I would win this one. But Jimbo, if nothing else, he's a good coach.
Okay. Tim, your thoughts on the Auburn and Texas A&M game?
I think I sort of thought Auburn would win it as well. Like most of the other guests here, I was they're sort of an anomaly to me, almost year in and year out. You know, other than the couple of years when they had Cam Newton, and you know, they're a team that always recruits talent. They've always got talent on the field, but for some reason or another, they're up and down most years. And this was one of their, you know, down performances. It really kind of caught me off guard.
Okay. Tim, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to come back with you, and we're going to talk about who gets your game ball.
Okay.
You're listening to Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Never Had It Radio, and find us on Facebook. Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. Taking a break. We'll be right back. When I was a young boy, I had visions of fame.
Okay, we're back. Tim Moore, who gets your game ball this week?
I think the performance by the receiver Bell from Purdue would lead me to give him the game ball this week.
Okay. Will Lewis, who gets your game ball?
I'm going with the quarterback from Oregon, Brown. Thought he played extremely well, you know, against Washington, man. Made some really, you know what I mean, just really good throws. So I'm going with Brown.
Okay. Ricky, who gets your game ball?
You know, I think I'm going to have to go with Tim on this, the guy, the Bell kid, the receiver, because I hadn't seen Purdue play all year. And I just like that kid, too. He just kind of jumped out at me as somebody that kept him in the game and also helped him to win the game. So I would go with him also.
Okay, well, I'm going to stay right with you where the head coach from Purdue compared him to Jerry Rice.
That's you know, why you want to do that to that kid this early? You know, that's a tough one, y'all. You're talking about probably the greatest. If I know he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest receiver to ever play. That's a lot to put on a kid. But you know, we'll see. I think that's almost like when, you know, guys would come in the league and they would start comparing to Michael Jordan. I think that's a little bit too early for that. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Jay, who gets your game ball?
Man. So you're saying that the head coach from Purdue said that guy is the next Jerry Rice? That's what he said.
That's what he said.
I think he's just trying to pump up their recruiting to get all these kids that got on the fence to say, hey, you come to Purdue, we'll throw you the ball. But as we all know, that's a tough train to get on, you know. And I know they like trains at Purdue, but you know, I'm gonna if I'm going to give a game ball, I'm going to give it to the Wisconsin defense because they're playing so good. I mean, they're like number one in scoring, number one in yardage. You know, they're killing people. So that's who I am. Even though their offense isn't that good, their defense is playing great. So I'm going to give it to the Wisconsin defense.
Okay, Princess. Who gets your game ball?
I'm going to stick with my guy, Ty Chandler, running back for the Tar Heels with 4 touchdowns on Saturday and over 200 yards rushing.
Okay. Princess, I'm going to stay right with you because I want to know if you're beefing or you want to make us go,
Well, Duck, last night I said I was beefing with the Gamecock fans here in Columbia, South Carolina, but I'm not going to be petty. So I'm beefing with Aaron Rodgers and all that I've seen today and yesterday and, you know, the immunization, and now he's, you know, he did not apologize. He said if he confused someone, he's sorry that he did that. But that whole comparison or non-comparison, the NFL tolerating what they have tolerated from Aaron Rodgers and the effect of what that did to Cam Newton. I'm beefing on Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. All right, Tim. Beefing or making us go,
I think Tim may have his phone on mute.
Watching replays of the Jets from Sunday, but Thursday. But anyway, okay. I will. I'm coming to you, Will. You're beefing or you're making us go,
I mean, this was just an interesting observation because I know where we all saw where Eddie Orgeron was going to be let go at the end of the season down at LSU, but he also was being let go with a $17 million buyout. And then I was watching something the other day, and they were talking about Michigan State and how Mel Tucker has only a $3 million buyout. That kind of made me go, hmm.
Okay.
All of us go, hmm, yeah.
All right, Ricky, beefing making us go, hmm.
You know, this is not really a beef. I think it was in – I'm trying to remember. I was just sitting around watching games. I think it was the Texas A&M and Auburn game, and I don't know if it's anything we can do about it, but I really have a problem. Don't get me wrong, because I'm an offensive guy, and I like tough quarterbacks, but when a quarterback takes off and run, and he doesn't want to slide and he puts his head down, and a defensive guy like Will Lewis comes up to hit him, I mean, and he puts his head down, and he's going to make a clean tackle, and they both bump heads. I still got a problem with how that ends up being, you know, a penalty on a defensive ball player for coming up when they do that. And I don't know if it makes me go, hmm, or just I'm beefing with it that somehow when you turn into a running back and you run it, you know, I mean, that's difficult. And like I said, I'm an offensive guy, but that's difficult for a defensive guy to adjust his body to get his head out of there when they're coming at him with their head. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just a small beef, but it's a little beef of mine.
Okay. All right, Jay, you beefing or you going to make us go, hmm?
I guess I'm beefing a little bit. The fact that Dan Mullen would fire two of his main coaches this late in the season and, you know, kind of try to deflect the blame off himself and put it on to Todd Grantham and his offensive line coach who had been with him for 15 years. I thought that was very petty of him and very shallow. You know, I don't know if it'll save him in the long run, but, you know, I'm always for the assistance in this case and not feeling what he did to try to save himself, I guess.
Okay, if you're feeling like that for that, what about Frost with Nebraska? Firing his guys.
See, that was news to me, but he's doing the same thing.
Right.
You know, if you're going to do something like that, I know Frost took those guys with him from Central Florida, and mm-hmm. now all of a sudden they can't coach. You know, you know what I mean?
Right.
And believe me, I know that. Guys are getting paid a whole lot of money. And, you know, comes with the territory and all that stuff. But if you're on a staff with somebody, firing them in the midst of the season, you know, what has changed from the week before when you were sitting around, you know, swatting the guy, you know, slapping him on the back, telling him he's your guy, and no matter what, come hell or high water. You know what I mean? I don't like the loyalty of any of that to be in that situation. And, you know, I think, like they say in the old days, you know, you dance with the one that brung you in. You know, if you're going to go down, you're going to go down together. So, you know, that's kind of my thinking. And maybe it's old school. Maybe, you know, that's how you do things now. You know, when things aren't going good, fire somebody and maybe it'll save you.
Yeah, I want to throw this back out to you, Ricky and Will, because, as you know, some jobs have come open. And they've been filled already. Joey McMyers gets the job at Texas Tech from Baylor, who was a high school coach about 4 years ago when I went out to the Texas Association luncheon, and he was a high school coach. Then he gets hired by Baylor, hasn't been an offensive or defensive coordinator. Now he's the head coach at Texas Tech. I don't know. Is it me just seeing something wrong with this picture? I need a little help on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think
somebody can grab it.
I think there's always an issue with the hiring practice. It's no secret that those who are making those decisions make them with a different agenda in mind. You try different ways of trying to make it a level playing field, but you get a chance to check out everybody that should have an opportunity. The problem is those that are doing the hiring aren't necessarily looking for everybody that should have an opportunity. So I think that's there in that to kind of is part of the problem.
Duck, repeat that again.
The question was, it wasn't so much of a question. It's just something I threw out about Texas Tech hired Joey McGuire, mm-hmm. who was an assistant coach at Baylor, who only had high school experience up to getting a job at Baylor. He coached, first year is like a quality control, next year coaching linebackers, and then not being a coordinator like they always ask us to be, and he gets the head job at Texas Tech. My thing is, who else did they interview? I'm just kind of throwing that out there.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying. I like what Will said in that, is that unfortunately, they're not trying to interview or hire everybody or be exposed to everyone. I don't think most of these schools are spreading a wide net, and they're talking to, particular people, particular agents, particular other coaches, and they're getting some answers, and here we go. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't, get the opportunity to even interview. I really want to go back to what Jay Hayes was saying about the Gators and Hezzy and Grantham, and I agree with him. There's a lot more going on at Florida if that is happening, if we're going ahead and have some sacrificial lambs out there now, and just saying, hey, these guys aren't any good anymore, a week after they were the defensive coordinator and offensive line guy. So, but not getting exposure and hiring the same old or hiring someone that's only been in college football for 2 or 3 years, we see that all day, Doug. And Tim is back
on. Right. Go ahead, Rick.
No, I was going to say something about what we just talked about. Princess just said something about throwing out a wide net. I think the net is wide, but it's for who they want it to be wide for. It's a certain person or a certain group that net goes out over. And I don't want to sound like this because I'm still in this profession and, getting back in and all that, but it's just a thing where sometime all of a sudden, did you forget how to coach or something? When you've been coaching for years, that's not the case. It's just that people hire people who they're comfortable with and who they like. And that's a lot of times what happened. And if you're not in that circle or that particular circle or that, a fallout from that tree, if you won the apple on that tree over there, then you don't get that shot. And that's why we, somehow things have got to change. And I know we could go off on a whole nother subject on this, but because this is in very prevalent in the NFL and in college, especially, major college, so it's that could be a discussion for the whole hour we on here, to be honest with you. But I'll leave it at that.
All right, Tim, you got it.
Yeah, I would agree with pretty much everything I've heard relative to that. They tend to hire people that they know, and they recycle them as many times as they want to. I remember talking to a friend of mine, and Duck knows him. He's a heart surgeon from down in our hometown area, and he was telling me that he was frustrated a few years ago at a hospital he was working at,
because people were referring folks for surgery to other doctors around him that tended to be Indian, of Indian descent. And one of the things that he was saying was that those guys play tennis together, they play golf together, and he doesn't play golf. And so all of a sudden, you know, they're referring people around him to get these jobs. And I think the same thing's happening in coaching. And the interesting thing is that none of these people look like us. And I think that's more than interesting, but it's a historical problem that folks are somehow more reticent and actually refusing to even deal with in the time that we're living, which is very disturbing, very disturbing.
All right, Tim, you were up for the question.
Yeah, Doug, I'd like to defer if I can. I'm having some problems with my phone. It's dropped three times since
okay.
I've been on here, and I'd rather not get too deep in here and then lose my connection again.
All right. Jay, give me your top four.
My top four. Oh, boy. This with I still Georgia. I'm going to go Bama. I'm going to, you know, it's starting to thin out a little bit. Oklahoma's still up there, even though I don't know that they can win this week versus Baylor. I kind of see them as the upset special. And, you know, I would have to, you know, Ohio State's kind of sneaking in there on me on the end, even though I don't like doing that. but that's about where I am.
Okay, Ricky, your top four.
You know, this is always gets me. I know a lot of people might not agree with me. I'm going to go Georgia. And I'm going to tell you something. I have Alabama in there, but I expected them to have a bigger win last week than they had. And I'm going to put Oklahoma in there, but I don't know if a lot of people agree with me. I'm going to leave Cincinnati there because they haven't lost. And they just, you know, maybe they – I mean, think about all the bigger schools – who have, you know, won games but barely won where you think they should have blown, you know, a team out. So, you know, why can't Cincinnati have a game where they just don't, you know, play their very best? So I'm going to keep Cincinnati up there. So I'm going to go with
okay.
I'm going to go with Georgia, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and Alabama.
All right, Princess. Francis, can you hear me?
I was just talking, Duck, with mute. My apologies.
Okay.
So since I have this moment, I'm going to say I agree with Ricky, and I like Georgia, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and Bama. And, you know, I'm looking at Ohio State on the outside, so is Oregon, but Ohio State, they play Purdue this week, and Purdue do it again. So, but I agree with Ricky.
Ohio State will whoop them like a stepchild.
Oh, man. Here we go. We'll come back to the prediction.
I'm just telling you,
Tim,
Purdue can't
do
it 2 weeks in a row.
I agree with
you. My top four. I'm in agreement with Ricky in many ways. I think Georgia's the class of the country. Then I would put Alabama in behind them. Then Cincinnati, and after them Oregon, and I'm really sort of like Ricky. I'm really kind of frustrated with all of the talk. This committee comes up with all kinds of reasons every year as to what they're going to do. First, it's you got to be a conference champion, and then that doesn't work. And Ohio State gets in one year when they didn't even win their own. They didn't even go to the conference championship game. Penn State won the Big Ten that year.
Right.
Then so they changed the rules to. you know, your schedule's got to be this and got to be that. If you look at Ohio State's schedule, two of their games, they played the same Tulsa team that Cincinnati just barely beat this last week, and they were battling with Tulsa into the fourth quarter, and they had another mm-hmm. huge win against Akron this year. You know, so this whole thing about Cincinnati's schedule, I think they have the best win of any team in the country, because if you look at what they did at South Bend and then look at what Notre Dame's done to everybody else they played, save the first two games of the season, I think that should say something, although, you know, they're focused on the brand names, and that really frustrates me, instead of the best football teams.
Okay, Will, your top four.
Mm-hmm. And I'm fairly consistent and agree with Rick and Tim as well. I like Georgia, consistent number one. Still going with Cincinnati at number two because they haven't proved to me otherwise. They play who they play, and if they win, they just kind of stay where they're ranked. Oklahoma still undefeated. I think the change at quarterback once again has given them a little bit of a new life, and I think it's going to help them down the road. And then I think Alabama is the one loss team that I have at number four. I think Oregon and Ohio State are right there, right outside of the four, but, you know, that's kind of where they belong right now. And as far as Cincinnati, as long as Notre Dame keeps winning, I think that bodes well for Cincinnati. And same thing for Alabama, as long as Texas A&M keeps winning, then that bodes well for Alabama.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break and come right back with you, Will, and we're going to be talking about some of these predictions.
CampLineman.com is an opportunity for my big boys to come get some work. Let's put it all together. We build from the ground up. You know, our cliche is it all starts up front. Once again, start, stance, hand placement, hand separation, get off, counter moves, a little bit of everything. Polish up those skills before your middle school or high school season began. Just come work on your craft. Once again, CampLineman.com.
All right, guys, we're back with Will Lewis, and we're going to do our prediction. All I want to know who you think is going to win these games. We got Oklahoma, Baylor. Will?
I'm staying with Oklahoma to win out over Baylor.
Okay. Michigan and Penn State, Will?
I think Michigan is just kind of going into a little bit of a slump, so this is Penn State's bowl game to me, so I'm going back and bringing Penn State back. Penn State.
All right. Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Will.
Be a really good defensive game, but Texas A&M to win over Ole Miss.
Okay. Jay, Oklahoma,
yes.
Baylor.
With consternation, I pick Oklahoma, but this is my upset alert.
Yep.
Okay, Michigan, Penn State.
Michigan. Penn State, I just don't trust them.
Okay. Texas A&M, Ole Miss.
I'm going to go with A&M.
Okay. All right, Princess, Oklahoma, Baylor.
I'm going with Oklahoma.
Okay. Michigan, Penn State.
I like what Jay said here, that Penn State has just been inconsistent. So, Michigan.
Texas A&M, Ole Miss.
Texas A&M. I can't go for a Mississippi team. That's what Ken said.
All right, Tim, Oklahoma, Baylor.
Oklahoma.
Michigan, Penn State.
I think the Wolverines will pull this one out.
Texas A&M, Ole Miss.
I still see Confederate battle flag every time I hear the name Ole Miss. even though they got rid of it a few years ago. So I will not cheer for them. I will not pick them for anything. Texas A&M.
Okay. Can say it.
It's still in your spirit, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Ricky, Oklahoma Baylor.
Oklahoma upset special. I think they're going to upset Baylor. Michigan,
okay.
I think they get back on the horse, and even though I like Penn State, I think Michigan will get back on the horse. And lately, Texas A&M have kind of made a believer. I mean, when they beat Alabama, I thought it was a hoax, but they're playing well. And I like Tim's analogy about that Confederate flag, so I'm going Texas A&M anyway.
All right, Rick, I'm going to stay with you. You know, just very sad news this week. Henry Ruggs, and I put down Lyft or Uber. What are your thoughts about the incident?
You know, Doc, this is a tough one to be brief on because it hurts me to my heart, man. To just, I feel for the young brother who had his whole life in front of him and has ruined it, and I feel for the grieving families. This is just a tough situation that, you know, I dealt with this when I was with the New Orleans Saints because I was the director of player development there. And that's when I set up that program that actually a lot of the teams in the NFL implemented a cab service to where no questions would be asked. You just call this number, someone would come and get you, and they didn't even have to pay for it. We would pay for it. And we, you know, be reimbursed for, but we would pay for it. So no questions asked. You get in the cab, they take you home. And it just bothers me that this is not used or wasn't used in this instance. And I just feel for that young man, but I feel for the grieving family also. So I could go on forever on this one because this is what I dealt with players when I was in that position. So it kind of hurts my heart a little bit.
Okay, Jay.
Yes. Say the question again, please.
Yeah, just what I was just saying, that, you know, very sad incident, you know, Henry Ruggs, you know, end up, you know, killing whoever was in the other car. And my thing was, why not a Lyft or Uber?
Yeah, you would hope that guys, when they're in this situation, would, you know, take the ride instead of continuing on. And he was overserved. You know, I don't know the circumstances as to why he was out at that time of night driving that fast. In with all the different things that were there with the pistol in his car and all that kind of stuff, why guys feel that they need to travel that way. But, you know, it makes little sense, and it's just tragic what happened. You would hope that the players will be smarter about this. The things that have happened at Oakland in the last month or so, it's just unfathomable. From the head coach to Henry Ruggs to the defensive back that they just cut
Arnett
for the weapon. Yeah, Arnett. You know, all that just goes to show you that place is out of control. And, you know, everyone thought Vegas was a great place to have a team. Maybe it's not. I don't know. And maybe it has nothing to do with it being in Vegas. That could be too, but it's just a tragic thing. And you just pray for both families and all those who are affected by it.
Okay, Will, any input on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think just about everything that could possibly be said has been said. You can have as many programs set up. You can have as many influences. You can have conversations week in, week out. I mean, and I've got three sons all about that same age. And you try to have that conversation with them every time they go out. Do not drink and get behind the wheel. You know what I mean? To the point, you know, you say it to nauseam, but you still say it. You just keep on saying it and all that. And you like to think that it registers. But when you're out and you start drinking and you're now under the influence, all that proper judgment and influence goes out the window. But now it goes back to the person. It comes back to the kid and what exactly has registered to him. And then his situation was obviously different because he was on a mission that night to go have a good time, you know, with his girlfriend, driving the vet, going 150, drinking excessively, you know, all those things. And I'm sure at no point did it ever dawn on him that I would be in an accident, and I certainly wouldn't be that I would kill somebody else's family member. So I think you keep on hammering it on and on and on every time, and you just hope that at the moment of truth, the person makes the right decision.
All right, guys, we're about ready to run out of time, so we'll make this quick and just give me, starting with you, Prince, just give me the best football game on Sunday.
Duck, I didn't see a good game on Sunday. I was sad. So now that's about as honest as I can be. After the 1 o'clock game, Dallas and Denver, I turned the TV off. So I'll give this time to somebody else.
That's my girl.
I appreciate that, but guys, we just need to know what was the best game. I hate Tim. Oh my goodness.
The Chargers and Eagles. I thought it was a really good one.
All right, Jay.
I thought the Ravens Vikings was a really good game.
Okay, Ricky.
You know, I know you said Sunday, but can I pick the Monday night game? Bears
yep.
And Pittsburgh. I kind of like that game.
All right, Will.
I'm going with the Atlanta New Orleans Saints game. Atlanta with the win. Finally.
Okay. All right, guys. Never hit
come back.
Good radio. And Francis Cooper, Tim Moore. And I guess Ricky Porter and Will Lewis and Jay Hey, guys, see you next week.
Okay.
Have a great week, guys.
All right.
Y'all too.
Yep. See you later.
Awesome.